be here today with you. It's a joy to hear what I heard. I love to hear about Jesus. There's something in me when that name's mentioned that goes to fluttering. Remember when I first got with my wife, and even still, six kids later, I really desire to be around her. When she wants to hold my hand, my heart flutters. When I hear the name of Jesus, my heart flutters. I was talking to a missionary friend of mine on the way here, and I said, I'm going to give them the only message that I know. Preacher quoted a while ago and said, I claim to know nothing, save Jesus Christ. If Jesus can't help us, we can't be helped. I really believe he's the answer to our troubles in this hour. There's not a huge group of people here, but the group of people here no doubt deals with troubles. Deals with doubts, deals with different things. But I can guarantee you one thing, you don't deal with anything that Jesus cannot handle. And that Jesus cannot help. And that Jesus does not desire to help. And God breathes the breath of life. Like that being that he formed, the living soul. The Lord's blessed us to get to travel a lot of places, and I feel like what people is missing today and what they don't have a clear understanding on across this country is why we need to be saved. God don't save good people. There is none good. Not one. All we like sheep have gone astray. But we have a lack of understanding as to why we need to be saved. We know in the book of Genesis, I'll read the text here in a little bit, but we know in the book of Genesis that God formed man, three parts in the man, body, soul, and spirit. And the Lord told him, said, of these trees you can eat of the fruits of the garden. He said, but there's just this one tree in the midst of the garden, and that is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And he says, don't eat of it. He said, for in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And we see that Satan asked the first question that's ever been asked or recorded being asked in our Bibles. And he asked Eve some questions, and Eve got to answer those questions. We see that man partook of that which God had said, do not partake of. But we see that man kept on living. That doesn't make God a liar. In that day that they eat of that fruit, there's something within that man that died. And that's that third part of the man that was God breathed in it. God breathed life into that man. And whenever that man partook of the fruit of which God said do not partake of, that man died to God and was separated from God Almighty. And so we see the creation turning on the Creator. When the creation turned on the Creator, they've been doing it ever since. It's in your bloodline. That Adamic nature that's passed on from him to us. He said, for one man, sin passed on to all. And so all are sinners. And that includes you, and that includes me. Of course, we know sinners has a destination at the end of this thing, a place called hell. But I'm glad, the lake of fire, but I'm glad that it don't stop there. There is another destination. There is but two places that you spend eternity, that is hell, that's heaven. And we know that man partook of that fruit, and they died to God. And then God had a question. He said, Adam, where art thou? He wasn't asking physically, Adam, where you at? He knew where Adam was. But God had felt, just for lack of a better term, he felt the umbilical cord be cut. And he said, Adam, where are you? There was no more life there. That God breathed life. It had died to God because it had rebelled against God. And so that's why we have to be saved. We have to be saved because we're sinners by choice. We're sinners by nature. You say by choice. Yes, by choice. You choose to sin.
You put sin out in front of you. Listen, they, real quick, before we read the scripture, there was a fellow that had raised hogs for years, and he prized himself on the fact that he had these hogs that had not ever touched mud. And for generations and generations, he had these hogs up on concrete, and he would keep it sprayed off. And this preacher was looking at this man's hogs, and this man was telling him, said, for years, these hogs has not touched mud. These are generations past hogs that's never touched mud. That preacher said, what if we carried them hogs out into a pasture that had a puddle of mud? What would they do? He said, well, they'd run right for the mud and they'd wallow in it. He said, why is that? He said, because it's in their nature. So we're sinners by choice, we're sinners by practice, we're sinners by nature. There's no help for the sinner outside of this one name. There's no other name given where among men we must be saved. That is the name of Jesus. There's no other name given. So that's saying even the name of Jesus is a gift. There's no other name given. So even the name of Jesus is a gift. To hear the name of Jesus and to know that He's the Savior, it's a gift to mankind to even hear that name. And then to go above that and get to know the man, Christ Jesus, personally. I stopped at the store up here before we come in. We're going to take our text from the book of Psalms, chapter number 22. I stopped at the store. And the young lady at the cash register, she said, you look like an official. And I looked at her and I said, well, I'm a preacher. And I said, but I know the official. Amen. And so here I stand before you, just a mouthpiece. And I'm proclaiming to you that I do know the official. I want to tell you about him this morning, today, with the Lord's help. Psalm chapter number 22. It may not be your custom to stand, but I'm going to ask you to stand if we read the scripture together. One, to reverence the word of God. Secondly, to give you a little rest. I want you to hear this well. Book of Psalm chapter number 22. If you'll listen with me, we'll read the scripture together. That's the Lord to help us, for we know that we'll have no help if He don't help us. Scripture starts out in Psalm number 22. It'll sound familiar to you. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roar? O my God, I cried in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy. O thou that inhabits the praises of Israel, our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. By the way, we'll pause and say this just so you'll understand. This is David writing this psalm some 1,000 years prior to Calvary. Some 1,000 years before Calvary, David sat down and was writing one of the prettiest Old Testament pictures of Calvary that we have in our Bibles. And in my opinion, one of the most clear images of Calvary, even throughout the Old Testament, is found right here in Psalms 22, 1,000 years before it took place, David writing about Calvary. Look with me in verse number 9. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths. They bit him as a ravening and roaring lion. I'm poured out like water. This is talking about the Savior today. I'm poured out like water. There's nothing left, is what he was saying. I am spent. I'm poured out like water. I've gave. I'm physically spent. I'm spiritually spent. And so I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. In other words, while he was on Calvary, somebody said, how much did he love me? He loved me way more than this. But we know he laid on that cross and laid his arms out. And he was telling us here, 1,000 years before Calvary, we see what it looked like on Calvary. He said, my bones stare back at me. In other words, when I look to the right, at my right arm, my flesh is no longer there. It's been ripped off of me, and my bones, I can see them, and they stare back at me, and I look at my left arm, and I can see my bones. This is not natural. This is not nothing. This is inhumane. This is nothing that a man or anyone should have to go through. But here he is at Calvary, and he's there because you, and he's there because of I. We turned against our Creator, and instead of the Creator saying, threw me on the creation, he said, I'll give of my Son, I'll give of myself to redeem man whom I have created, to purchase man back from the hog pen, and bring them back to me, and eternally redeem the creation whom I have created. I say, bless his name. I say, what a Savior. I say, praise God for Jesus. I say, thank God for Jesus. I say, he done for me what nobody else could do for me. And friend, if you knew me, I'd say, he done for me what nobody else would do for me. Thank God for Jesus. There's nobody like Jesus. And I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them. They cast lots among my vesture. Be not far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorn. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for our Bible, Lord. We thank you for the copy of the Word of God, Lord. We thank you for what we felt already. We thank you for what we know to be true. Now I pray, God, that you would take me and make me so small that I'll not be seen. Lord, I don't even want to remember my name as I leave here. I don't want them to know me, but Lord, I pray the Holy Ghost to help me to lift the Son of God up so high, and he gets so big in this room that we can't help but to see him. Lord, we love you and thank you for everything. Thank you for dying for our filthy sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have here a picture of Calvary is what I want to preach on. And I want to take another term out of this text. I believe it's found in verse number 6 a little later on. But we've seen what God did to redeem sinners. We have a clear understanding that we're all sinners in here. We do not get saved because our daddy is saved. We do not get saved because our mama is saved. We see that in the garden when man turned against God, the Bible said that they knew they were naked. In other words, they seen their sin, and they clothed themselves in fig leaves. And so that's a problem today. Folk everywhere trying to clothe themselves in their own righteousness and in their own works. They tried to hide themselves from the Lord. And God called out, where art thou? And he seen that they'd eat of the fruit of that tree that was forbidden. And here mankind is now trying to clothe himself in fig leaves. And you know what God said about that? He said it ain't good enough. And God reclothed them. What, somewhere between those verses, an animal was killed and blood was shed, and God took that animal, thank God, and he reclothed man and said, your clothing ain't good enough, but I've got a clothing that is good enough. I'm here to tell you today that your clothing and all the righteousness that you can come up with, the scripture said, it's as filthy rags. It'll not do, thank God. You say, preacher, what type of clothing do we try to use? Well, some people try to use church membership.
Some people try to use a choir position. Some people try to use reading their Bible and praying to try to clothe themselves and say, now am I good enough? But friend, the problem is fallen man can never be good enough. There is nothing that you can do to get yourself into heaven. I'm telling you, it's through the blood and the blood alone. It's through that one man named Jesus and through Him only. I don't care what any other body, anybody says. There's no other way. The way, thank God. He said, I'm the way. I'm the truth and the life. And if you're going to get to the Father, you'll have to go through the precious Son. There is no other way, thank God. And there is no other remedy. And I'm glad it's that way. Thank God for Jesus. What we could not do for ourselves, Christ Jesus came and done for us. We know that the Mosaic Law was set up there shortly after the fall. And we know that the law, some 600 plus laws, cannot, and the law is perfect, by the way. I need everybody listening today. The law is perfect. There's nothing wrong with the law. The law is of God. The Bible says the law is perfect in converting the soul. The law is God's law. Therefore, it's a perfect law. Here's the only problem with the law. Man can't live up to the law. And by the law, we know death. By the law, we know sin. By the law, we see we have come short of what God commands out of mankind. We can't ever get there. We can't ever live up to it. I'll say it to you like this, if you'll listen to me. The law is like a man marrying a woman. And the Bible says that they are bound together so as long as they live, right? And so no divorce, amen, no splitting up. They're bound together by the law so as long as they live. And the law is like a husband that comes in and he puts so many commands on his wife. He says, look, when I get home, I want the house clean. I want it swept. I want it mopped. I want this and that and supper cooked, blah, blah, blah. There's some silly men out there like that that thinks they thank God they're slave owners, but they're not, praise God. But that's how the law is. And he'll put so much on you. And finally, that woman about pulls her hair out and says, I can't do it. I can't keep up with your commands. I'm not good enough. I don't have enough hands. And so it is with us here. 2026, the law comes and the Bible says the letter killeth. It shows us that we can't live up to God's standards. And eventually you find yourself saying, I can't do it, God. I can't do it. And about that time, the Holy Ghost points to Calvary, says, you ain't got to do it because He's already done it all. Thank God. He said on that cross 3 words before He died, it is finished. And I thank God He finished it because I wouldn't know where to start. Thank God to complete it if I had to. The work's already been done. Then we got where I want to take the text from, verse number 6. If you'll look with me in your Bibles, the Bible says this in verse number 6. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of man and despised of the people. Thank you for looking at your Bibles. Now look up here for just a moment. Not because I want you to see me. I want you to see Christ so bad I can't hardly stand it. This word worm right here is used twice in this context. I was in my study a while back. I think I've preached this 3 or 4 times. And the Lord started dealing my heart about this, where the Lord called Himself a worm. He said, but I'm a worm and no man. Then I thought about it in the book of Job, wherever Bildad, one of Job's friends, was talking to him. And he said, how can man be justified with God? Can man be justified with God? He said, how much more a man that is a worm. That's what we are, isn't it? Now, I want to tell you something. In context in this scripture right here, when it talks about a man being a worm, that'll translate in your Bible, if you'll study it, into a maggot. I'd say it's about right, wouldn't you? I mean, I'd say it's about a spot-on picture of this old boy right here, a maggot. We know a maggot's nasty. We know you'll find a maggot in the nastiest mess that you can come up with. You go to where the stinkiest stink is that you can ever imagine, and you'll find maggots somewhere in that garbage. Don't that fit us pretty good? You know, he said he was made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. He was made under the law because that's where I was. He wasn't under it. He was above it, thank God. He was the one that made it. He humbled himself and he came to where I was, just an old nasty maggot, come in my field, thank God, and pulled me out of that, called me out of that. By the way, listen, when a sinner can get saved is when the Holy Ghost is drawing him. You can't just wake up one day and say, I'm going to get saved today. It don't work that way. The Spirit of God must draw you, thank God. And when he's drawing you, it's then and only then can a man or a woman or a boy or a girl get gloriously saved by the good grace of God. When the Holy Ghost goes to drawing on your heart and tugging at you, thank God, you can get born again. And somebody said, preacher, is it hard? Well, if the Holy Ghost is dealing with you, it's the most simplest thing, thank God, that there is to get born again. When it's hard, it's when you're trying to do it on your own. You can't just hardly do it. You can't do it at all. So we see a man as a maggot. That fits us pretty good. But then he says, I'm a worm. When I read that in my study, I said, no, that ain't right. You say, preacher, you said the Bible wasn't right. Well, that's what I thought. I thought, no, my Savior's no worm. He's no maggot. And so I got to looking up that worm, and I knew the word worm in terminology to a man was a maggot. And I said, what about this with the Savior being a worm? He ain't no maggot. And so I started looking at that, and that word translates in your King James Bible where it talks about the Savior being a worm. It's a specific worm, and it's called a tola worm, found in the Middle East. A tola worm or a crimson worm, found in the Middle East. And I started looking at this worm, and I was amazed at what I found. And I want to share it about you, and let's see if we can see Christ today. Would that be all right with you? Can you hang in there with me for about 15 more minutes? We see this tola worm. You say, preacher, what in the world's a tola worm or a scarlet worm? Well, it's a worm that is very unique and a very picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. And some 1,000 years later, before this tola worm would even climb her first tree and her last tree, David got to seeing into a bigger thing than what we can ever imagine. This tola worm, these female tola worms, everybody listening still, they'll have babies one time in their life. You say, why will they only have babies one time? Because it literally takes their life to have children. And we see to become the sons of God said, and now we are the sons of God. How did we become a son of God? Because a tola worm died in your place. A tola worm will, the female worm, she will gladly, willingly, sacrificially climb a tree. And what about that? Willingly, knowing this is going to be the only one, the only way she can have children is if she gives her life. And the only way a filthy maggot that was under the law and no good could have life, such the precious King of glory would leave the splendors of heaven, come down here, hold himself for sins, so we can be clothed with his righteousness and willingly lay down his life, willingly climb the tree, attach himself. Well, I tell you, if you think I'm wrong, then put him up there. Man, we don't see eye to eye. Take him some nails and hang him there. We don't see eye to eye. We had our Savior there. It's a love for mankind. While we were here, sinners, Christ died for us, thank God. He didn't die for the clean, redeemed me. The Bible says for the prize that was set before him. He endured the cross, despising the shame. Thank God for Calvary. Thank God for Jesus. He went on because he loved me. I was put in Christ, by the way, before the foundation of the earth, if you read the scriptures. I'm going to quote it where he said, let us make man in our image. The next chapter, the next verse said, God made man in his image. The Father said, the Holy Ghost was there from the beginning. You say, how can God make man when he knew they'd turn against him? I'll tell you how, because it's the solution to man's problems. overcame, if you hear what I'm saying. It's already in the S-O-N. Before there was a S-U-N. There was already an answer before our problem ever occurred. And his name's Jesus. This told the worm should freely, she would willingly, sacrificially climb this tree. She would then attach herself to the tree. And this is a red worm, by the way. That's why they call them the scarlet worm or the tola worm, which is a red worm. She would attach herself to these trees and she would have eggs, have her babies and eggs and under her. And she will form a hard shell that would protect her children. Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful you ain't having to protect yourself? Aren't you thankful this weight's off your shoulders? Hey, let me help you right here. Listen to me. Look up here. Listen. God is already pleased with what His Son done. No use in you trying to please Him.
That's right.
No use in you trying to please Him. You know we have. Well, you know why we have so many people doubt their salvation? We're so eye-centered. That's why. I believe there's some good saved folk that's looking in the mirror a lot too much. Is everybody listening? What I'm saying to you, as long as you look at you, you'll look lost as a goose. You need to look again to Christ, thank God. You need to set your eyes on Christ. You need to look at the finished work that God deemed as satisfaction to Him. God was so holy. That's what those cherubims are crying to Him. Holy, holy, holy. It's the Lord God Almighty. That's the main attribute of God. He's so holy, it demands perfection that man cannot produce. The Son's already produced it. Instead, what the Son is finished, thank God. And quit looking at your own self, because you'll come up short every time. I thank God for my protection. I'm just as saved as I'm ever going to be. Amen. And I want to tell you something, by the way, according to our scripture, if you got any questions after this, you ask me. We'll go through the Bible. It's all Bible, I promise you. I tell you this, listen, when I got saved, I was put in Christ. Christ is in God. In that very moment, dear brother, in that very moment, I was set in a heavenly place as a finished work from God. Everybody listening? You say, preacher, you don't look finished to me. Well, it had not yet appeared what I shall be. But I know this, that when He doth appear, I shall be like Him. Woo! I've been conformed to the very image of God. And I'm confident in this one thing. No matter how I feel or how I'm doing, He that began a work in me, the good work He'll perform it unto the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, thank God. He's the one performing it. I'm the piece of clay on His wheel. And I trust that He's going to finish me up, thank God. He don't throw the clay away. He'll finish you up, thank God. The pressure's not on you to finish well. It's on Him. You blow the It's like the little lamb there, sir. Does anybody get this? What I'm saying is it's already done. It's already complete. You're already a perfect work up in heaven. And right now you're just catching up to who you are up there. Now we got the accuser of the brethren in Revelation. We're going to go on with this worm here in a minute. We're still talking about Him. We got the accuser brother in Revelation, and that's Satan. Of course, he said he's accusing us before God day and night. So here's what he's doing. He's saying, hey, God, look at old brother Hunter there. He's messing up. He don't look too good today. Everybody listening? Old Hunter got up this morning. He ran out of the house before he read his Bible. Yeah. He didn't even pray to you. What do you think about him now? God takes him a look. And to see me, remember who I'm in? To see me, he's got to see his Son. And when he looks down to check out those accusations, he looks back at the devil and he reports to him. It don't look like a thing's wrong with him. He looks perfect. He looks just like Son, thank God. I'm telling you, you can't be good in Christ. What about it, God? He's reading about it. Ain't in all that anyway. He's done pleased me because my Son pleased me. He's my workmanship created in my Son, Christ Jesus, unto good works, So I'm not throwing good works away. I'm just saying this. Don't try to do good works before you get in Christ to get you saved, because it'll never work. But listen, I work because I am saved. I don't work to get saved. I work because I am saved. And by the way, it ain't me doing it either. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all Him. This total worm climbs to the tree. She attaches herself to the tree. She has those kids and under her in egg form. She performs, she becomes a protective coating over those eggs. And guess what? They hatch. And you can't make this stuff up. I'm telling you how real this book is right here. Them things will hatch. And they'll eat on that mama for 3 days. Number 3 in your Bible means complete. We see Calvary. You answer these questions I'm going to ask you so you'll wake up, those of you that are asleep, and I'll give you the answer. I'll make it real easy for you. The answer is going to be 3. Means what? Anybody listening? Means complete. How many men was on that cross that day? The answer is 3. I ain't hearing you. How many men was on the cross? 3. How many important words did he say before he died, letting us know what was done? The answer is 3. Now, this one's a trick question. How long was it dark? It was 6 hours. That's 3 and 3. How many days did he stay dead? 3. Everything about Calvary is complete. Everything about Calvary is finished. It don't need you to add anything to it. And it sure don't need you to take anything from it. It's already complete. For 3 days after those babies hatch, they will start eating on their mama. In other words, she's the whole reason that they live. And she's the whole reason that they're able to gain strength. My wife right now has got our 6 youngin' in her belly. You know why that baby's living? Because my wife's living. You know why that baby eats? She ain't capable of eating herself. You know why she eats? Because my wife eats. There's an umbilical cord, which, by the way, has three chambers in it. Are you a doctor, ma'am? It's got 3 chambers, don't it? 3 vessels. 3 vessels, that cord does. And what does that do? It brings life to that baby. Now listen, I've cut 5 umbilical cords in my life, fixing cut 6 in July, Lord willing. But He'll never cut the umbilical cord on you. He'll always be your life source. You need grace, He'll take a big old bucket of grace. Your Father who owns it all, He'll pull it down that umbilical cord. And before you know it, just like that, you'll have so much grace, you'll be laid out and all you'll be saying, grace, 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 grace. You say, how much does He got? He's got plenty. He's got plenty. He owns a cattle of 1,000 hills and He owns them hills too. He's got as much as you need. There's no situation you can get in life where you'll need more grace than what He's got for you. Where you'll need more mercy than what He's got for you. 3 days, them babies will eat on that mama. She's giving her life, sacrificing her life so she can have children. And on the 3rd day, those babies eat through this dye sac that secretes a crimson dye that dyes them babies and stains them for their whole entire life on that 3rd day. Now, you know what happened on that 3rd day with me? He said he's the worm. He's the one that said it. I didn't say it. I'm just reading you what the Bible said. He's that scarlet worm. He's that tola worm. On that 3rd day, they'll eat through that dye sack, and in an instant, that dye hits them babies, and they're stained crimson red the rest of their life. And then on the 4th day, that mother's head goes through her body, and it forms a heart. And it falls down to the ground, except this time the mother's not crimson now, she's white as snow. And it's in the shape of a heart. As to say, her last message to her children was, I love you. He's that total worm. Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll wash them white as snow. He's the only one that can do it, ain't he? When she falls to the ground as a white piece of wool. She's in the form of a heart. As to give you the last message, I sure do love you. I did this all for you. They ripped my flesh off to where literally I could see my bones. Boils of Bashan compassed about me. They bit on me like I was an old nothing. Like I was a chewing rag or a dog toy. They spat on me. They done all this because I subjected myself to it. At any time, I had plenty of help up there. I could have called down there and helped me. But I seen you. And I seen you really needed me. And so I'm saying to you, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Knowing beforehand what His darling Son would have to go through, and He gave Him anyways to redeem mankind. And now us that is saved, our confidence is in Christ and not in ourselves. We know we're good enough because He's good enough. Nothing about us. We'll never be there. We'll never be good enough. But He's already there. He's already good enough. He's already pleased the Father. Get the pressure off of you. All this legalism and junk and all these things you want to puff your chest up about and talk that you do different than somebody else, God ain't interested in that junk. He wants you to quit pointing at yourself and start pointing to the Son. The next time you point at yourself, instead of saying you dress like this or you look like this, you need to point at yourself and say, I'm a filthy maggot, but I have a really good Savior. And by the way, I've been engrafted in. So I'm no longer a maggot in Him. For no maggots go in Him. But now I'm a total worm myself. So now I'm to give my life in return. Thank you for listening.